Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with Josh Nelson, where we get real, we get honest, and we get clear about the financial world and your money. This is Josh Nelson, a certified financial planner and founder and CEO of Keystone Financial Services. We love feedback, and we'd love it if you would pass it on to me directly at josh@keystonefinancial.com. Also, please stay plugged in with us, get updates on episodes, and help us promote the podcast, and also subscribing to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast service. Let the financial fun begin. I am glad to be back after a great summer with family and kind of running around trying to have as much fun as possible while the kids were off school. Thank you for listening to the best of series that we had over the summer. That was actually a lot of fun for the team and I to figure out what are the best episodes from this past year. If you haven't listened to those, go back and take a listen on those and also share those with anybody that you think would find those useful. Last week, we talked about what makes a great financial advisor. And I kind of prefaced that with saying, you know what, there's different ways that people get into this industry. So go back and listen to that episode. Now, of course, this week, we're talking about what makes a not so great financial advisor. Maybe that's the nice way to say that. I could have made this really easy for myself and just said the opposite of whatever those three things were. But really, I've got some other thoughts for this week. I think you could say both. The things that we talked about last week, which I'll go over here really quick, you could say the opposite of these would probably make a not so great financial advisor. Number one, I think we're just assuming off the bat, and maybe we shouldn't assume, but we're assuming that people have some basic communication skills and business skills. They're reasonably intelligent. So we're not really talking about that stuff. There's a lot of people that fit into that category. What we're talking about more is just their mannerisms, their personality, their approach to how they work with you, because that's really critical. Is developing that relationship with your trusted advisor, because when it comes down to it, they're really guiding you through some pretty important stuff. We're talking about your family's financial future, and really they're there to basically help guide you through the rest of your financial life and everything that's going on today. A lot of transitions, a lot of life transitions, like going through retirement, making big decisions as far as when to retire, how much can I spend, how should I invest my money, do I need to carry life insurance or not? All these decisions will be ones that your trusted advisor helps guide you through. And if you don't trust them, then you don't realize that they're confident, that's going to be pretty tough for you to really have a productive relationship with them. But last week, we talked about three things that make a great financial advisor. We'll go over those quickly. One of those is that they need to be a people person, more or less. They need to kind of like people and have people skills and be able to connect with people and be able to show that they really care. They've got confidence, but they've got humility. And ultimately, they've got the mannerisms and the personality that really tell people that they're somebody who they can connect with. There has to be some kind of juice there in the relationship, or people just aren't going to click and it's going to be tough to have a productive relationship. People want to kind of like the people that they work with, kind of on both ends, right? As advisors, we like to work with clients that we like. It's tough to work with people that we don't like. So really, it needs to be a good fit. Number two is be able to be a problem solver and be creative about doing that. Being able to collaborate with the client and not having it just be a dictatorship where the advisor makes all the decisions and the client really doesn't know what's going on or have any say in it. That would make for a pretty poor relationship if it wasn't that. Again, confidence, humility, and be able to do that in an environment of uncertainty and be willing to take action, make decisions anyway, even though things might be uncertain. And then number three is have the heart of a teacher, helping people understand what's going on in the financial world and with their money, and be able to educate people on a one-on-one basis with a couple, and also being able to do that in group settings, either in front of people live or via webinar. Those are all avenues that are really important to be able to be competent in, or to be able to develop that competence to have a successful advisor relationship. So this week, we're going to talk about what makes a not so great financial advisor. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of things that we could talk about here. We could talk about horror stories of financial advisor stories people have heard and so forth. But I quizzed my team and said, you know, what do you guys think? What are the things that we kind of hear about or we think would make a really poor relationship with a financial advisor. I got their feedback and kind of threw some of my own in here as well, but we'll see how many downloads this episode gets versus the last one, the relationship with a great advisor versus a not so great advisor. We'll see which one wins. I hope you listen to them both. So what makes a not so great advisor? Number one, by and large, this one is absolutely number one, is that you never hear from them. And that's pretty pitiful, I think, but that's the number one reason that people leave their financial advisor. There have been numerous studies that have substantiated this, that people most commonly leave their financial advisor because they never hear from them. They don't call them back. They don't contact them proactively or have ongoing meetings with them. And so people feel like, I never hear from them. You know, they've had my money and, you know, we never talk. We never really hear from them. Or in a lot of cases, they just don't respond to emails or calls from the client, which to me, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but this is number one. This is the number one reason that people leave their financial advisor. We were kind of joking about it here that really, is that a competitive advantage? It actually is. It sounds like it's a competitive advantage that we actually call people back. We actually respond to people's needs and their emails, and we reach out proactively to make sure that they've got a next appointment scheduled, kind of like the dentist office. So kind of crazy, but that is number one, because those studies hammer it so often. And we hear this from people when they're trying to switch financial advisors. That's almost always what we hear. If they've been working with an advisor, they're leaving or they want to leave because they never hear from them. Okay, number two of what makes a not so great advisor, they're really a salesperson disguised as an advisor. In other words, they're kind of salesy. They kind of come across as a salesperson. And I think we all know what that feels like, right? In different settings, we know when somebody's trying to sell us. We know when they've got an agenda, in other words. So really, they're a salesperson disguised as an advisor. It doesn't matter what it says on their business card or email signature. If it says investment advisor, financial planner, you can just kind of tell it when you're talking to the person that this is a person that's really just trying to sell me a product. They're trying to sell me something versus acting as my trusted advisor. So one of the clues on that, other than just instinct, right? I think we can just kind of smell it almost, is that they don't listen. They're just not a good listener. And it's pretty clear that they have an agenda. Kind of coming into the meeting, they've got an agenda and they really don't care about you that much. They really only asking questions or trying to start a conversation to the point that they can start their sales pitch. You don't want to have somebody that's doing that, especially with your family's financial future. You want to have somebody who really is a great listener and doesn't have an agenda other than just helping you. That really should be what they're doing, is just trying to figure out, how can I be of service here? How can I help? And can I add value in this situation? And if they're honest, sometimes there are situations, and we do this too. Sometimes there are situations where we just feel like we're not probably a good fit for this. We probably can't add value to justify the fees that we're charging people for what this person might need. So that should be, you know, kind of a clue, is that they're just not a good listener, and that would make a pretty poor relationship. They really should be wanting to know you and asking lots of questions, being curious and wanting to know about your situation before going in and proposing a solution to it. It would be kind of like walking into the doctor's office and, you know, without you talking a whole lot, they just start throwing prescriptions at you and just say, well, you need to do this or do that, without looking at your medical file, without looking at the statistics that they see on you, without asking you questions about what hurts and so forth. So it's really important that you think about that relationship with a financial advisor the same way. They really need to be asking a lot of questions and really being somebody who understands your situation really, really well before they should start giving you advice or start proposing solutions or products or anything like that. Again, the product really is their advice. The product should not be a product. They shouldn't be selling you an annuity or something like that as the be-all, end-all solution. Really, it should be the product as them, as the advisor, and their firm's ability to be able to help you. So number three, what makes a not-so-great advisor is that they're not really ready for the big leagues. What I mean by this is that you just kind of get the sense, or maybe through your own research, you get the sense that they're not really competent. They're probably not very experienced, not educated, versus a CFP quality, a certified financial planner, quality financial planner, a fiduciary. That's really the gold standard in our industry, is you want to make sure that they're a CFP, they're acting as a fiduciary at all times in your relationship. And it also helps if they've got years of experience in the area that you need help. If their niche is that they work with business owners and small business owners, helping them set up their retirement plans and things like that, but you're a high tech employee of a big company, maybe they're not the best fit in that they may not have the experience in the area that you need help. They should have a lot of experience working with other high tech workers, ideally at the company that you work for. But in a lot of cases, the benefits and things that you're dealing with are very nuanced and need to be unpacked by somebody who really has experience. You don't want to be the guinea pig. You don't want to be the first person that they're working with that has that particular situation. It also helps an awful lot if they have an experienced team. In other words, that you're not just working with this advisor or this planner. They've got a whole team around them. Ideally, you've got a team with multiple CFPs on staff, and that they've got lots of professionals that they reach out to on a regular basis, or maybe even have some strategic partnerships with a big custodian like Fidelity or TD Ameritrade or Schwab, or that they have relationships locally with attorneys, CPAs, trust officers, other people that really they can be pulling into your financial situation. When you think about the certified financial planner profession, that actually started mainly back in the 1970s. That was really where it was largely born and started becoming a profession. And the reason why it was pulled together as a vocation was that before that, people were kind of left to their own devices to go out and find professionals in all these different areas. People kind of had to act as their own financial planner and then go out and find the investment guy, probably a stockbroker at the time, find an insurance agent, find a person at the bank that could help them, find their human resources contact that could help them with the benefits. In the end, it's important that you've got somebody who can really pull that all together into a plan, because most people don't have the time, they don't have the desire, they may not have the expertise. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, in that if we're our own advisor, we can only see things from our own perspective. And that's why for a lot of people, and I do have a business coach, I've had a business coach for years, and the thing that she helps me with, she helps me see things from a different perspective that I wouldn't be thinking of that. And some of the stuff is just so obvious, but as a financial advisor, financial planner, a lot of times that's what we're doing, is we're pointing out things that might seem obvious to a lot of people, but the person's just not seeing it because they're too close to our own situation, our own business, our own vocation, whatever that is. And we really need that outside perspective to be able to help us make effective decisions and see things clearly. You know, if they're not ready for the big leagues, you probably can kind of sense that, but there are some things that you can be watching out for. One of those is make sure that they're a certified financial planner. When you're working with somebody, there's no reason to work with somebody who's not a CFP. That's the gold standard in our industry for somebody who has requirements that are fairly rigorous. They've had to pass education requirements and a pretty hard test. They have to have years of experience, and they've been background checked to make sure that they don't have any obvious black marks on their record. You want to make sure that they're a fiduciary. If you're working with a CFP, they're a fiduciary. They have to act in that capacity as a CFP. And again, you want to work with somebody ideally that's part of a whole team. You don't want to just be working with somebody who is kind of out there on their own, because you need to have some redundancies. You need to have somebody who can help you when they're on vacation, when they're not available, or what if something happens to them? Do they have a succession plan? If something were to happen to them, who's going to help you? Or do you just have to go out and find a new advisor at that point? Of course, that's always an option, is finding a new advisor. But is that something that you're going to have to just be kind of left on your own? Say if that person dies, if they become incapacitated, or do they have a whole team that's still able to help you if something were to happen to them? Hate to be morbid, but that does happen. And so it's important to think about your relationship with your financial advisor, financial planner. It might be that you really have a good connection with that person, but is it just them, or do they have a whole team that you're connecting with and that's serving you? Years of experience in the area that you need help is pretty important. You don't want to find just any garden variety financial planner, even a certified financial planner, because they might not have really the expertise in the area that you need help. And I'll give you a different example. Let's say that you were going to an attorney and you really wanted help doing your estate documents, getting a will and trust and powers of attorney, all those sorts of documents done. And then you start interviewing that attorney and you find out that they're a family law lawyer. Well, that's great. if you needed a divorce or you were having some type of custody issue, but maybe they don't have any experience in estate planning. So are they a licensed attorney? Could they do legal documents for you to get your estate stuff done? Well, yeah, they probably could. But do you really want that with your family's financial future? When you think about estate planning, you want an attorney that really does that a lot. You want them to be doing that on a day-by-day basis because those rules change a lot. And strategies that might work for you might not work for somebody else. So they probably would just end up boilerplating some documents for you, and it really wouldn't be that great. You want to find an attorney that really is involved just with estate planning, or that's a big, big part of their practice. Same thing with a financial planner. So you want to make sure that they've got years of experience in the area that you need help, and ask lots of questions to make sure that they really, really understand that. Again, an example being, if you're a high-tech worker, you might have all kinds of equity awards that are specific to high-tech companies. As far as how those work, you want to make sure you have an advisor that really is connected to that. So to sum up, what makes a not-so-great advisor? You never hear from them. That's the number one reason people leave their financial advisor. Again, not a great thing at all. Number two is that they're really a salesperson disguised as an advisor. They're probably just selling you products as opposed to really acting as a fiduciary, acting as a trusted advisor, and doing real comprehensive financial planning. And number three, they're really not ready for the big leagues. You just kind of get the sense that they're not competent. They're not experienced. Maybe they don't have the education. They're not a CFP. They're not a fiduciary. And maybe it's just that they don't have the years of experience in the area that you need help. So it's important that you're asking lots of questions about all these things, of course, when you're interviewing a financial advisor. And if you're sitting there saying, you know what, I'm not sure that I have a good connection here with the person I've been working with, some of these things kind of sound like the experience that I've had, maybe it's time that you need to start interviewing some people and find a better fit for you. If that's us, that's great. I hope you talk to us. If you're considering a different financial planner, speak to us, see if we're a good fit. If we're not, we'll definitely tell you too. You know, if we're not getting the sense that we're able to help you or add value, we're definitely going to tell you that and help you really get connected to an advisor that would be great for you and your family. The other thing is just look at overall, am I a person that's a self-directed person? Am I really geared to doing this myself? So in most cases, when people come to us as new clients, most people actually have never worked with a financial planner or a financial advisor before. They've had some great financial habits in that they're typically very good savers. They're very good at taking some money and putting it away, 401ks, buying stock, putting it away in savings, paying down their debt. They've got some good financial habits coming into it, but really they get to the point where they have a couple of things that are happening at the same time. One of those is that they just don't have time anymore. They're realizing that they've got all kinds of other commitments that involve work, their family, just stuff they like to do for fun. They've got a lot of other commitments or things that they'd rather do than becoming a financial expert. So that's one of the things that ends up happening. And number two is people start to think, you know what? We've done a great job saving, investing, paying down debt, all kinds of good financial decisions that we've made up until this point. But they start to get a little bit scared and they start to think, you know what? What if something were to happen to me? And especially if they're married, right? If there's something were to happen to me, is my spouse able to take things over? Who's going to take care of them? And it could be also a thing that people are starting to think, you know what? I did a great job saving, investing, paying down debt, but now I'm approaching the later years of my career. Maybe I've only got 5, 10, 15 years left in my career before I'm going to be retiring. And I want to make sure that the decisions I'm making now are not going to screw me up someplace. I'm making sure that I'm on track at all times and that I've got an effective game plan that's going to help me get to where I want to be. That's one of the things to think about, really, is just what kind of investor are you? What kind of person are you? Are you somebody who really wants to partner with a financial planner? Or really, are you somebody who's geared to be doing this on your own? If that's your hobby, that's what you enjoy doing, then you probably want to just keep doing what you're doing. Frankly, some people, that's kind of what they want to do. That's how they want to spend their time, is researching finances and the market and so forth. And they kind of like being an expert in that area. So maybe that's the best fit for you at this point. If you're questioning that and saying, you know what, I just haven't found somebody, maybe I just need to go talk to a financial planner. Again, give us a try. Talk to us, see if we're a good fit for you. And if we're not, we will definitely help you get connected to a financial planner that would be a great fit for you and your family. That being said, I think this has been a great couple of episodes here for people that are trying to make decisions or maybe confirm whether I'm in the right spot or not. Help us promote the Wiser Financial Advisor. You've been great about this. So many of you have pointed your friends, family, coworkers to us. easy ways to share. One of those would just be email. You could certainly just send people copies of the episodes that are links on our website. We have a website that is specific to the Wiser Financial Advisor, and it's just wiserfinancialadvisor.com. So just have them go directly to that page. And again, each one of those links are direct to those episodes. So please help us promote the podcast. We always want you to hit subscribe on whatever your favorite podcast service is. So whether you use Apple, Spotify, Pandora, we're on all the major services at this point. So make sure that you're sharing, subscribing on all those different services to help us promote the Wiser Financial Advisor. And with that, I hope you have a wonderful week and God bless.
The opinions voiced in the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with host Josh Nelson are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advisory services offered through Keystone Financial Services, an SEC registered investment advisor.